start with just basically reviewing some basic halachas tomorrow, Shavuos v'Tammuz. From the five things, there are five things which happened on Shavuos v'Tammuz. Number one, the luchos were shattered. Could you imagine the horror of the luchos were shattered on Shavuos v'Tammuz? Number two, what else happened tomorrow? Tomorrow, aspas. I think I apologize. I didn't prepare adequately, but the Sefer Torah was nisraf. This took place. There's a very big debate as to when exactly this event took place. Aspasionus, is that the one? I'm not saying it correctly. No, give me. Let me go to my notes. One second. Okay, obviously, the one that's the most relevant for us is. What is most relevant for us is that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. Okay, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached on the 17th day of Tammuz. Give me one second. Okay, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. Let's just clarify this point. This is a very important point. We have to appreciate there are five major events that let...
Somebody, the rabbi, is muted.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Do you hear me now? I'm sorry. You didn't hear what I said?
Yes.
Okay, I'm really sorry about it. Good you told me. Okay, let's discuss now the significance of Shavuos v'Tammuz. Okay, there are five things that happened on Shavuos v'Tammuz. Okay, let's first discuss the fourth, and then we'll discuss very quickly the fifth thing. Number one is Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the luchos. Okay, that is a very significant event. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. He shattered the luchos when he witnessed the bird, the eagle. The laning tomorrow, it's very interesting that we lane Vayichal on all of the fast days. From all of the fast days, the only day when the laning is the most relevant, it's literally on target, is Shavuos v'Tammuz. Because the laning tomorrow is Vayichal Moshe Esmei Hashem Elokav Lom Hashem Yechadab Chabiyamecha, when Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalo to forgive us for the Chayto Egel. The Chayto Egel took place on Shavuos v'Tammuz. So from all of the fast days, the laning of from the Dalet Tzomos, and for that matter, even more than just the Dalet Tzomos, let's even talk about Tainis Esther, the most relevant and on mark is tomorrow. Because tomorrow is the anniversary of the Chet HaEgel, and Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he saw the Egel, he shattered the Luchos, and then was mispalel to Hashem, Vayichal Moshe Espnei Hashem Elokav, to forgive Klal Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. So when we lane tomorrow, the Kriya Satorah, it's mamosh in Yonei D'Yoyma. When we lane Vayichal on Tzom Gedalia, and we lane Vayichal on Asar B'Teves, and we lane Vayichal on Tainus Esther, and we lane Vayichal, what I leave out, on Tisha B'Av, we also lane Vayichal, but in the morning we lane Parshas V'Eschanan. Those lanings are not as relevant as to the laning of tomorrow. Because tomorrow, it's an amazing insight. Tomorrow, the Kriyas HaTorah reflects 100% to what happened on tomorrow. The Shviras HaLuchas. The second tragedy of tomorrow, Shavuos v'Tammuz, is the Talmud came to an end. During the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was the debate that it came to an end during the Bayis Rishon as well, but it's certainly during the time of the Bayis Sheni is when they stopped offering the Korban Talmud. This does not mean the year of the Korban. It means before that, exactly at what point in time they were unable, there was a siege. During the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Rishon, there was a siege for 3 years. It's not so clear how long there was a siege during the time of the Bayis Sheni. But we have a tradition that on Shavuos v'Tammuz is the first day when in the era of either the Bayis Rishon or the Bayis Sheni, and perhaps both, the offering of the Korban Tamid came to an end. Normal everyday life came to an end. This is so relevant for us this year, like you can't even imagine. Because this year we suffer from Corona, and Corona brought an end to our daily schedule, our daily Seder Hayoim. People were following a Seder Hayoim. Every day you daven at 7 o'clock, and you go here, and you go to work, and you do this, and you do this. And this year, the Tamid came to an end. Ad Hayoim Hazeh. I now daven. I still never recovered. No one, look, we're doing this on Zoom. No one recovered. So isn't that relevant? That could not be more relevant this year than ever. What else happened? What else happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz is Apotamos. Apotamos, who was Apotamos? Not so clear who this person was. Some say that he lived during the time of the after the Churban, during the Bar Kokhva revolt. Some say Apotamos was during the Bayis Rishon. It's not exactly, maybe it was before the Churban Bayis Sheni. There was a person whose name was Apotamos. Okay, Apostamos. When he lived, good question. It's a big, big encyclopedia to try to figure out who this person was and when he lived. And it seems like he lived many times, at seven lives. He lived after the Bayis Sheni, during the Bayis Sheni, between the during the time of the Yavan, there are many different tikkuvos of when this leader lived, whose name was Apostamos, and he burnt a Sefer Torah. The burning of the Sefer Torah is very similar to what happened to the Shviras Haluchas. The Shviras Haluchas, to a certain degree, was also, in essence, a Shrevas HaTalmud. What else happened on this day? An Anavay Dezara was put in the... They erected an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, L'chore, this took place during the time of the Bayis Rishon. Menashe, he put in the Heichel an Avodah Zarah. When? On Shavuos B'Tammuz. Those are four events. The fifth event, let's just take a step back. We have to really appreciate this. There are five stages in Golos. It's very critical to appreciate this Yisayit. There are five critical moments that we focus on to commemorate the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Let's discuss specifically the first Beis HaMikdash. The first is the siege. The siege took place 2.5 years before the actual Churban. That took place on Asara B'Teves. Nebuchadnezzar came with his army, the Kazdim, and they laid siege to Yerushalayim. No one goes in, no one goes out. Slowly, little by little, he starved the people inside. They were starving. There was infighting. There was Bayis Sheni, during Bayis Sheni was much worse, but there was disagreement as what to do. Should the people surrender? They should not surrender, v'chulu. But there was a siege that lasted for 2.5 years. The siege began on Asara B'Teves. That is stage number one. Stage number two, Shavuos B'Tammuz, tomorrow. After 2.5 years of laying siege to Yerushalayim, our enemies breached the walls of Yerushalayim on the 17th day of Tammuz. Now, the truth is, there's a contradiction. The one pasuk says, the pasuk in Yirmiyah really says it took place on the 9th day of Tammuz, not the 17th day of Tammuz. We know as a fact that the breach of the walls of Yerushalayim during the Bayis Sheni took place on the 17th day of Tammuz. The question is that also the correct calendar date for the Bayis Rishon? Some the pasuk seems to say not. It took place on the 9th day of Tammuz, and there's a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi if the date recorded in Sefer Yirmiyah is correct, or it's because the people lost track of time. And being that they lost track of time, they by mistake recorded the date as the 9th day of Tammuz, when in reality it was the 17th day of Tammuz. Let's put that aside for right now. But one thing is certain, tomorrow we commemorate the breaching of the walls, the Choymois Yerushalayim. That's the main theme for tomorrow. The third stage of Churban was the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the ninth day of Chodesh Av. The fourth stage of Churban was the assassination of Gedaliah ben Achikam. Gedaliah ben Achikam had a rival. His name was Yishmael, and he was jealous that Nebuchadnezzar appointed Gedaliah ben Achikam to be the governor of the She'eris HaPleita, the survivors, and he, with the encouragement of the nation of Ammon, he assassinated Gedaliah. When Gedaliah was assassinated, and let's assume now, there's a dispute as exactly how long of time passed from the Churban Beis HaMikdash to the assassination of Gedaliah, which we'll assume now took place in the beginning of Chodesh Tishrei. Did it happen on Aleph Tishrei? Did it happen on Beis Tishrei? Did it happen on Gimel Tishrei? It's not so clear. But we commemorate his assassination on the third day of Tishrei, because day one and day two of Tishrei, we celebrate Rosh Hashanah. Was he assassinated on the second day of Tishrei, and we push it off? Was he assassinated on the first day? It's not so simple. But we commemorate his assassination on the third day of Tishrei, and that was a very great Churban, almost equal to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because even after there was a Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, Jews were allowed to settle in the land. They were allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. There was a Yishuv. No one can come along and say that we're occupiers. This is our land. Nebuchadnezzar explicitly said it's a Jewish land, and the Jews will remain here, the survivors who will remain here under the authority of my appointee, Gedaliah. When he was assassinated, panic broke out, realizing that when they find out that another Jew killed the governor, Nebuchadnezzar will go and will be very angry and he'll kill all of us. So all of the Jews fled, and they went to Egypt. And this was against a direct order from the Navi Yirmiyah, who said, don't leave, stay put, you'll be okay, nothing's going to happen to you. They did not believe Yirmiyah, they fled, and by fleeing, they abandoned the land to nobody. The land was Hefker. And because it was Hefker, for the next 52 years, you know who came along? The occupiers, the Palestinians. The ancestors of the Palestinians came along, they took possession of the land, and here we are now, almost 3,000 years later, we still can't get rid of those people who took over the land when we abandoned the land in its entirety on Tzom Gedaliah. So Tzom Gedaliah is stage four. It's not over yet. And by the way, Gedaliah assassinated a month and a half after Tisha B'Av. Or was Gedaliah assassinated a year and a month and a half? It's machlokes. Some say he was not assassinated that year, he was assassinated the following year. If we assume it was the following year, and I always used to toy with this, I always used to say, it's not really fair. Why should we have to have Tisha B'Av every single year? I always used to like, and I used to try to suggest, we should revise the calendar. Okay, I'm just joking with you, but I'm just saying is, we should follow the same cycle. The cycle was, there was a siege for 2.5 years, so we'll have Asara B'Teves. And then for the next 2 years, nothing. No fast days, no Tishrav, no Shavuos B'Tammuz, nothing. Then 2 years, and no Asara B'Teves either, Asara B'Teves. And then 2.5 years later, on Shavuos B'Tammuz, we'll have Shavuos B'Tammuz. And then 3 weeks later, we'll have Tisha B'Av. And then, not the Gimel Tishrei, where we have Tzom Gedaliah. We'll wait another year until the next year, Tzom Gedaliah, which will bring it to 4 years. It's basically a 4 year cycle. It's a 4 year cycle. These four events played out over 4 years, 2.5 years, and then a year and a month and a half to when Gedaliah was assassinated. It's a 4 year cycle. Okay, but it's not over yet. And then came the fifth day, the fifth part of the process, and that is a day that for whatever reason we don't really commemorate, and that is the fifth day of Teves. What happened on the fifth day of Teves? That was probably the worst day of them all. The worst day of it all is when a messenger reached the people, the exiles in Bavel, the people who went into exile 11 years in advance by Yehoyachin, the Chodosh v'Hamasker, the Chodosh v'Hamasker. These were the people that were exiled prematurely by Nebuchadnezzar with Yehoyachin. The report reached these people that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed and there are no survivors. There's nothing really left in Eretz Yisrael. And you here who are living in Bavel, you are all Klal Yisrael has left. Now we have to understand that at this point in time, it was never proven that a Jew could survive in Galus. We today take it as a given. The Netzach Yisholo Yeshakir, we've been in Galus for almost 2,000 years since the Bayesheni, and Baruch Hashem was still here to talk about it. There have been a lot of casualties along the way. In fact, there have been casualties that are beyond our belief, beyond description, but Klal Yisrael is still today here, and they're thriving. But at this point in time, it was this reality didn't exist. And Al Pi Derech HaTeva, if we don't have a homeland, and we don't have a temple, and we don't have leaders, Nevi'im, prophets, we don't have a chance to survive. It's just a matter of time until we assimilate and intermarry and disappear off the face of the earth, no different than every other nation that has come before us. So the Churban, Gedali was assassinated, let's say he was assassinated, sake of simplicity, let's say he was assassinated the following, right after Tisha B'Av, immediately. Let's not say it was a year. And then there was no traveling in ancient times between different parts of the world. It took a very long time, all the way until Teves. Okay, it took a couple of months from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash until the fifth day of Teves, when a messenger arrived and told them, you know what happened? On Shavuos and Tammuz, the walls were breached. 3 weeks later, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And a month and a half later, the survivors fled to Egypt because of the assassination of Gedaliah ben Achikam, and there's no one left. And you here in Bavel, you are all that's left from the Jewish people. That's it. They took in the reality. There's no Yerushalayim, no Beis HaMikdash, there's no one, no survivors. Just us here in Bavel. What are the chances that we're going to survive? The Klal Yisrael will endure? Zero. When it sunk in, we can't even fathom the degree of yeush, of despair, that they experienced on this day, the fifth day of Teves. I would assume that this should be the ultimate day of mourning. And yet, we don't observe this day. You know why we probably don't observe this day? It's so tragic. It's so over the top. You can't even deal with it. Many people after the Holocaust were totally in another world. They couldn't. You don't even talk about the Holocaust. You can't talk to a survivor about it. It is so over the top. You can't deal with it. Before you can mourn, you got to be able to acknowledge, deal with the reality. Something that is so horrific is something you can't even deal with. That was the fifth day of Teves. So the truth is, there is a machlokes in the Gemara. When in the Torah, in the Nevi'im, it says you're only supposed to fast during the months. You're supposed to fast during the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, the Tzayim HaRevi, Tzayim HaChamishi, the Tzayim HaShvi, and the Tzoim Ho'asiri. So, what is the fast day of the fourth month? Well, we know it's Shavuos B'Tammuz. What is the fast day of the fifth month? The ninth day of Av. What is the fast day of the seventh month? Tzom Gedalia. What is the fast day of the tenth month? Oh, Asara B'Teves. Excuse me, that's out of order. Asara B'Teves was when it all began. That was the siege, not the end. So Enachanam, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. I've forgotten the two different opinions. One opinion says that the real fast day of the tenth month is not to be commemorated when the siege began. It's to be commemorated on the fifth day of the month when the report reached the exiles. Other opinion says no, it's more important to focus on the beginning of the Churban, which was Asara B'Teves, the 10th day. So the truth is, there are 5 points along the way of Churban. Asara B'Teves, 2.5 years later, Shavuos B'Tammuz, 3 weeks later, the 9th day of Av, a month and a half later is Tzom Gedalia, and point number 5 is, the Yom HaShemua, the day when the report reached the exiles and it sunk in the scope of the Churban and the bleak future going forward. Tomorrow is the Beria HaTichon. If you have the number 5, that means you have a middle day. And the middle day is, what am I saying? The middle day, I'm making a mistake. The middle day tomorrow is not the middle day. Tomorrow is the second day. It's not the middle. So it's not the Beria HaTichon. But tomorrow, Shavuos B'Tammuz, is the second day of this process of Churban. Okay, it's the second day. So tomorrow, there are 5 events which happen tomorrow. Okay, there are 5 events in the process of Churban. And this is the second of the 5. And the 5 events are the Luchos, Apostamos burnt a Sefer Torah. We don't know exactly when, and the significance was very great. And
according to the Gemara, it was in 151 BC. It was 150 years before the Churban, over 100, almost 200.
Okay, there are different opinions. Okay, there are different opinions. There are many opinions exactly when he was. Okay, and the Talmud came to an end, and the Sefer Torah, and the most important is it's the second of the 5 stages of Churban. Now let us review some very basic halachas. I want to talk about something else tomorrow. We'll go more into halacha. The fast begins that in time of Chazal, when they had real fast days, the fast would begin at night. There was no difference between Tisha B'Av and the other 4 fast days, which means the fast would begin tonight with sunset. When the sun sets, the fast begins. And there are 5 things you cannot do: eating, drinking, smearing the body with the 5 inuim, the body with oil, marital relations, and wearing shoes. 5 inuim, just like on Yom Kippurim, there are 5 things you may not do. And these 5 things, and I guess we would sit on the floor. I'm assuming that would be true as well. We would sit on the floor as well. When it was a real fast day during the time of the Nevi'im, we observed all of the Inuyim, and the fast began at night. Today, we don't observe the fast day for real. Not even Tisha B'Av. The fast days today are batal. They were mevatal, the fast days. This was only during the time of the Nevi'im. The time of the Nevi'im when they were actually experiencing these events as they unfolded, but Chazal were mevatel these four/five fast days. Yet we are obligated to observe them as a minhag, as a custom. So we're not observing the fast days. These fast days were sanctioned by the prophets, but not for all time. It's a long Gemara. The Gemara talks about different tekufos, when there's a time of shmad, a time of tzoros, when there are times of peace. Today we do not observe them as a din of an obligation, but rather as a custom. And therefore there are a lot of leniencies. First leniency is from these five fast days, the 5 days, one we don't observe altogether, the Yom HaShemua. Number two, four of the five, we don't fast at night. We just do a token observance by starting the fast in the morning. Number three, we don't observe all of the stringencies of a fast. The only thing you're not allowed to go do tomorrow is you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to drink. That's it. You can wear leather shoes, you can sit down. That's it. The only thing is eating and drinking. Number four, being that the fast days are not so strict, if a person doesn't feel well, you don't have to fast. You know, a person, the leniencies to not to fast are very, very easy to find, especially during Corona. There are a lot of leniencies. A person, any person that's suspect, I have no doubt a person that because of the danger of Corona, a person has to maintain his immune system, has to be in a state of good health. A person who feels vulnerable, there's no question, you don't have to fast. Now in New York City, things have changed. New York City, things are already, I don't know, who's to say? Like I told you, this week I've seen some real nasty flare-ups over masks. So it got me really scared to watch how people are behaving. The diversity of opinion is so broad. It's like nothing else. And some people are really worked up. And maybe they're right. Who's to say? But if a person feels personally that he is in danger and he wants to secure his immune system, not to weaken himself by fasting. If you fast, your body is weak. You're vulnerable. It's easier to get sick. Is there any science behind that? Well, guess what? There's no science for anything today. No one knows anything. There's not one answer to even one question about Corona, even though this thing's been going on already for months and months, and the most brilliant minds in the world are sitting, breaking their head the whole day to find solutions and to understand what's going on. And after all this time, we still know basically nothing. So anyone's guess is good as someone else. And if a person has a sensitivity, he feels that he's in danger, that he's not going to eat, he's going to fast, he's going to get weak, and he's going to get sick, I guarantee you, you'll have a long line of Rabbanim cheering you on and telling you not to fast tomorrow. On the other hand, a person says, I'm done with this. I'm finished. I had enough of this already. I had it. I have antibodies and I'm fine. I can fast. Well, you'll have a long list of Rabbanim that will say, so good, fast, do whatever you want. Gesunde hate. There's enough data and science behind you to give you the right to fast if you want to fast tomorrow. So, ish hayasha be'enav ya'aseh. And no one can blame anyone what they want to do. Just the fact that we're still sheltered in place and we're learning over Zoom right away shows that this is not such a simple matter. In the United States, the numbers are exploding. Maybe in New York City, we feel like we've already achieved herd immunity. Who says? I don't know nothing. No one knows nothing. But there's no question there's a very great danger out there. Ish hayasha be'enav ya'aseh, just like there's a diversity of opinion regarding what to do with masks and social distancing, so too, if a person feels vulnerable, you are within your rights not to fast tomorrow. This is not your
case. An aliyah tomorrow.
You should not get an aliyah. A person who is not fasting, no, should not get an aliyah. You should not take an aliyah.
While in the morning you fast. In the morning you're fasting.
In the morning you're fasting and you don't know what's going to be later in the day, then you can take an aliyah. Yes, you can take an aliyah. If you don't know yet what you're going to decide later on to do, and the more, if you can
tomorrow,
definitely take it, you can aliyah. But
in the morning,
so that's okay. So that is a machlok. That is a shah that since anyway it's kriya satoira. Anyway, it's kriya. So it's more. It's not a blanket heter. It's not a blanket heter that just because tomorrow is Kriya Satora, you automatically can take an aliyah by Shacharis because you are not fasting, because it's not a regular Kriya. You're not learning Parshas Pinchas, you're learning Vayechal. The nature of the Kriya relates to a Yom Tzoim, especially tomorrow when it's the real deal. Tomorrow the learning is as relevant as it can possibly get. So there's no question that it is not a Lichat Chila to take an aliyah tomorrow if you're not fasting by Shacharis. Bidi Eved, it is more lenient. There's more leniency to take an aliyah tomorrow if you're not fasting than if the fast day would have taken place on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, when there is no Kriya Satora. Mincha?
I always have that shayla at my father's yard side tomorrow.
So I hear it. I hear what you're saying. It is a tough question. If you, in the morning, have not yet decided what you're going to do in the afternoon, then l'chayra, you can combine all of these things together. You can take an aliyah tomorrow. If you have made a clear decision that you're not going to fast tomorrow, later in the day, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I have to be mavar the answer. You're still fasting in the morning, and it is Thursday, and it is a yard site, and a yard site you're a chiyuv. Yeah. So it's a really tough question. You're still fasting. It's a Thursday, and you have a chiyuv. Probably there are grounds to be lenient. I mean, they're definitely now. Certainly by Mincha, if you're ready.
The grounds for leniency is that the Machlokes in Gemara and Megillah, like on Daf Lamed, I think it is around there, and it says that basically you, in other words, the Machlokes, should you lay by Echal in the morning and the afternoon, or the regular Monday, Thursday in the morning, and then only lay by Echal by Mincha, because Mincha is a very important tefillah, but of course we paskin that you lay it both times. But so according to the Mandiyama that says you lane the regular morning laning, that would be the mum to say you can get an aliyah even if you're
But we don't lane. That's the problem. The bottom line is we don't lane that. We don't lane the regular laning.
Yeah, I said the bottom line is, but you could be.
But there's grounds. There's no grounds.
Look for a cooler. That's you could be Simon on that.
But in the afternoon, if you have already eaten. In the afternoon, if you've already eaten, I do not know the answer. I have to ask someone. I don't know the answer. But in the afternoon, if you've already eaten, so it's definitely very problematic. It's definitely a person is not supposed. That's the halach. That's from Shulchan Aruch. A person has already eaten. You've eaten. You're not fasting, and they call. Even they call you up, even though we have a regular rule that once you're not allowed. They call you up. You're not allowed to reject. Not in this case. In this case, they call the person for an aliyah, even though they called him up, he has to tell him, sorry, I'm not eligible to take the aliyah. It's a scary halacha. Not to allow them that. There's a whole question, what about a rabbi? A rabbi, there's a machlekes ha-poskim for a rabbi, he is an exception, because since he is in a position of leadership, it will be a chil Hashem for the balabatim to know that he's eating. And then there is a dilemma if a rabbi is allowed to be lenient in order not to be embarrassed in front of his Baal HaMitzvah, lose respect for him. I don't think today, I don't think to me it's a little bit of a shock that today a rabbi, any rabbi, the rabbis that I know are, there are two things today. Number one, the Baal HaMitzvah today are much more knowledgeable in halacha than, people understand that just because he's the rabbi doesn't mean he's fasting. Everyone knows today we live in a very delicate world where people who may appear to be the picture of health are not fasting. So balabatim today are much more knowledgeable in knowing that just because the rabbi is eating doesn't mean he's any less of a rabbi than if he was not eating. And number two, in general, people don't have respect for rabbis today. Unfortunately, the rabbis say very often are not much more are. In held in high esteem due to, we don't have Rav Moshe Feinsteins today. Okay, the average rabbi today is not a Rav Moshe Feinstein. The average rabbi today is, a rabbi, but not on a madrego where the people, they worship him, and by discovering that he's not eating, that he's not fasting today, they're going to lose a mashu of respect for him, whatever respect they had to begin with. I don't know if that's what I'm saying is correct, but okay, it's a tough question, but generally, if you're at this point in time you're not eating, you've already broken your fast, you're not by mincha, which is only read on the Tainus, the halach, it's clear. You're not supposed to accept an aliyah, and if they give you an aliyah, you're supposed to say, I'm sorry, I can't take it because I'm not fasting. Shachris, you're still fasting, right? You're still fasting at that moment in time. So then maybe, and also you have the other sniff lehetera that some hold that's Thursday. Anyway, it's a day of Kriya Satira. And in addition, you are a chiyuv. You're a chiyuv because of the yard site. So l'chari, you have three things working in your favor. Just try to be maker. Try to say to yourself, you know what, maybe I will fast. Who says you have to decide? You have to use halach in your favor. Don't wake up in the morning and make a declaration, today I'm going to eat lunch. Who knows? Maybe I'll fast today. You make the decision later in the day. So in the morning, you don't know. Maybe it'll be easy. Maybe it won't be such a big deal. I'll be able to fast. So as long as in the morning you still have not made that clear decision that you're going to break the fast, so you're still fasting. And it's a yom, and it's Thursday. And you're a chiyuv, so then l'chari you can be mekel, you can take an aliyah. All right, now here is the very big dilemma. This is the big dilemma. I don't really want to spend so much time on this, but let's finish up some of these things. And the big dilemma is, being that today we don't observe the tainus as a real tainus, we only observe the tainus as a minhag. So what status does the night of the Tainus really have? Do we say that, being that the obligation to fast on Chodesh HaRevi'i is batal, the Chodesh HaRevi'i is totally batal, and the only reason why we observe the fast is a custom, the custom is to start the fast day in the morning. Therefore, at night, there's nothing. Nothing is a night. And that would have a very big nafkamina. That you can have a wedding with music, and you can shave, and you can shave at night, take a haircut at night. Again, there's a custom not to take haircuts and listen to music during the 3 weeks. The problem is, The dinim of the 3 weeks do not necessarily overlap, coincide with the din of the tainus. So, as far as taking a haircut is concerned, the halacha is you're not allowed to take a haircut tonight. The last chance you have to take a haircut is before the night begins. Because the din, the minhag of not taking a haircut and shaving is a minhag of the 3 weeks. It's a minhag of the calendar. A calendar minhag. The calendar begins, Shavuos B'Tammuz begins tonight. That's the calendar day, not tomorrow morning. So as soon as sunset begins, that's it, it's over. No more haircuts and no more listening to music. The tainus, the fasting, doesn't begin until tomorrow morning. And there is no element of fasting at all at night. Therefore, let us say you start a wedding, you won't have a wedding. You want to have a wedding. So let's say you start the wedding, before, let's say you actually you want to have the wedding at night. Actually, to make the wedding, to make the suda of the wedding at night. Why not? Are you allowed to have music? It's a problem. Having music at night is definitely a problem. If you're going to first start the music at night, you're going to start to have the music at night, it's a problem because the music really is within the 3 weeks. But what about the meal? How are you allowed to sit down and have a su'uda, a special su'uda on Shavuos B'Tammuz at night, when technically Shavuos B'Tammuz at night is a zman of tzom, is when really we should be fasting? So this is the big dilemma. If we learn that really it lingers on today, even today in Tov Shin Pei, the tainus of Tzom Gedalia, so me ikar hadin, the tainus starts tonight. tonight we should not be eating. But we don't observe it. We observe tomorrow a minhag in the morning, but it lingers. There is still an impression. Therefore, it would not be proper to sit down to a meal tonight. A formal meal, a special meal tonight, because it goes against the grain of what today is. Today, tonight is a Yom Tzoyim.
As I said before, Shavuos Matamis and my father's yard, in the first year afterwards, we made a Suda that night.
Okay, and Mamish at night. Because, yeah. Or do we say no? The Tzoyim of Yom of Tzom Gedal of Shavuos Matamis is bottle legamri. There's nothing gone, it disappeared, there's no zeicher. What we do is purely a minhag. It's a zeicher ledavar. Once upon a time, there used to be something called Tzom Gedal, Shavuos Matamis, which began at night and went through the entire day, and he fasted the entire day. But today, we observe a zeicher. What is the zeicher? In the morning. But at night, there is no impression, there is no roshim that's left from the original Shavuos Matamis. And that would mean, if you want to have a meal tonight, you want to call your family and get together and have a delicious meal, go right ahead. You want to have a Sudas Yard site, go right ahead. You want to have a chasana, a wedding, have a meal, go right ahead. Oh, but how could you do that? It says in the Navi, the Tzoyim HaRevi'i, there's a fast day in the fourth month, which traditionally was observed on the 70th day of Tammuz. And even though maybe we're not observing it, but you can't have disrespect. It's one thing not to be observant, but don't have disrespect. You know, we tell the irreligious people, even an irreligious person understands that's Yom Kippur. A person maybe is not observant. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. I'm not going to go make a party on Yom Kippur because I may not be religious, but there's a certain respect for Yom Kippur. If that's the case, we're all in that category when it comes to the night of Shavuos Matamis. What are you doing having a meal Shavuos Matamis? Whether it's a Yom Chasna, whether it's a Yartza, you don't do it on Shavuos Matamis. So some hold like that. Some really hold it's not a time to make a meal. Other places can.
Interrupting again. Wasn't that really a test Tammuz originally?
We discussed that. It's not so simple. Not necessarily. The Shulchan Aruch says he's supposed to fast both days. It says in Shulchan Aruch he's supposed to fast both on the ninth day and on the 17th day. Okay, so it's not so simple. It's the machlokes, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. There are no answers to these questions. The Bavli and Yerushalmi, what exactly was, did it happen? What exactly? Okay, there's a lot to this. And also, even if it happened, no matter when it happened, the Nevi'im did not set a date. It seems that every year you can decide what day you want. Just you have to designate one day of the month to observe what happened in this month. You don't have to commemorate on the 17th day or on the 9th day if it's not convenient. So this year, make the tzoyim on day 13, on day 20. Just pick one day in the month. That's all the Nevi'im demanded. It became the custom to designate the 17th day Chag V'lo Yavar. So the question now is, today, in Tavshin Pei, is it, how do we look at Shavuos Matamis? And the same is true for Tzom Gedal, the same is true for every other Tzomas. Is it that the real day of the Nevi'im lingers? We don't observe it, but we have respect. If you have respect, it's not a time to arrange a special meal, to go out of your way to make a special Suda tonight. And that would mean it's not correct to make a wedding tonight, even without music. Not correct to make a special su'ud of anything. You know, people make su'uds for all different types of events. You don't do it. But if you learn that being the Bizman Hazeh, it's already past this tekufa, and then the Chazal were mevatel, then the time of the Nevi'im was not meant to be forever, it was only for a certain era, and today it's batel u'mevatel legamrei. There's no such thing anymore as the Dalet Tzoymos in our generation, our time. However, Chazal came along and told us that they instituted a custom. it's a new custom, and the new custom only begins in the morning, then tonight you can do whatever you want. You want to sit down and have a 9-course meal? You want to go to the restaurant? You want to have a wedding meal? You want to have a Sheva Brachas? Go right ahead. There's no problem. There's no fast. There's no zecher to the tainess of Shavasa B'Tamas. The tainess Shavasa B'Tamas doesn't exist at all today. Not only this, even Tisha B'Av. Whatever we're doing is a minog. It's a new minog, a new thing. And the new minog was never established for the night. Now, you have to still remember, it's still Shavasa B'Tamas. It's still the beginning of the Ben HaMetzarim. And that has other restrictions. And that means no haircuts. And that means there's no music. That's a separate issue. But that's not related to the tainess. A tainess is a fast day. Eating, drinking, that's a tainess. So to have a suda tonight without having, and that appears to be pretty much the minig. The minig is, you could do whatever you want. Appears that's more or less, but should you have music? No, you shouldn't have music. Now, what about a wedding? So the truth is, it's not so simple to have music by a wedding. The only heter is, the whole thing of music is only a minog. It's not a very strong prohibition not to listen to music. It's a very weak, because the truth is, you're not supposed to listen to music the entire year. That's really the truth. You're not supposed to listen to music because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The whole year, there's no music. We can't accept that. We don't follow that because it's too difficult. But at least during the 3 weeks, we do what we're supposed to do. But if you can't even do it during the 3 weeks, it's really no different than the rest of the year. So if you start the wedding when it's day, which is not so hard to do now, the day ends such at a late point in time, the day ends. So, I mean, what time, you get out of Mincha until what, 8:15 almost? What time is Shkia? Shkia is 8:13, I think, right? Shkia is, I don't know, whatever. Shkia, the sunset is very, very late. So if you've already started the wedding early and there's music playing, so it's just a hemshach. It's a continuation into the eve, from the early. The prohibition of music is lightweight. It's a very lightweight. It's a custom. And it's a custom really should be observed the whole year. If it begins early in the day, then we view the music that's being played by the wedding late into the evening as a continuation of the music that started earlier during the day. So that is why you will find people getting married today in the late afternoon, and the music will be playing. The orchestra will be playing late into the evening, even though it's tonight begins the calendar Bein HaMetzarim, and l'chatchila you should not be listening to music tonight. But if the music began earlier, then it's like an extension of the previous day. It is permitted. And again, the wedding for sure is permitted. The wedding, getting married, even getting married l'chatchila at night is permitted. But if you want to start the music at night, that's a little bit more problematic. The wedding first begins at 10 o'clock at night, and you want to have an orchestra to first begin to play Od Yeshama at 10 o'clock at night. That's a little bit more problematic because you're actually starting your music in the evening. You're starting the event. If you're starting the event at 7:45 and it continues into the night, that's where the minig is to be very lenient. Not very lenient, but people definitely, definitely do this. Okay, that is the basic issue. Now, by the way, when a person goes to sleep, the halach is, when does the fast begin? The fast begins when you go to sleep. Why is that so? So there are two reasons. Number one, it depends on everything we just said. Being that the fast really begins at night, let's say we hold that it lingers. It lingers, even though it's batel, but it's there. And we have a custom to fast in the morning. But when you go to sleep and you're done with the day, the fast begins when you go to sleep. Because why? Because the fast really should be observed at night. Going to sleep at night triggers the original fast. You don't have to start fasting when the sun sets. But when you go to sleep and you've decided my day is over, I'm now going into the night and I'm anyway not eating, it comes up upon like a monster. It comes up to get you. You're supposed to be fasting at night. What's with you? It's Shkia. It's 8:15. What are you eating supper? Hey, bottle. The minig is bottle. The time of the Nevi'im. All right, bottle. But it lingers. It lingers to the degree that when you go to sleep, it gets you. It haunts you. And therefore, when you wake up in the morning, even if you wake up, let's say 3 o'clock in the morning, before Alois HaShachar, you're not allowed to eat or drink. Unless you explicitly state, you don't have to explicitly, even if you, it says in the place, you have a machshava, you say to yourself, listen, I'm getting up tomorrow at 3 o'clock to take a drink, to eat. I have to be strong, a gibor. If you make a condition when you go to sleep at night that you do not want the fast to begin until the morning, then when you wake up in the morning, you're allowed to eat and drink until Alois HaShachar, 72 minutes before sunrise. However, if you want to wash and have a meal of bread before the day begins, it's not enough to begin 72 minutes. You have to start 103 minutes before Alois HaShachar. Because when you have a bread meal, we don't trust that you're going to finish and bench on time. We there's a concern that you're going to continue to eat past the zman when you're allowed to eat. So if a person wants to have bread, wash, and have a meal, you have to begin your bread meal 30 minutes before 72 minutes. If you're only going to have a drink, an omelet, and a pina colada, then you can eat that until the very last minute, until Alois HaShachar, provided that when you went to sleep, you said to yourself, even if you thought, I'm going to try to get up tomorrow early, and I'm going to eat, I do not want going to sleep to constitute the beginning of my fast. But if you sincerely said, I'm done, I'm not getting up 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting up 6:30, and then guess what? You can't sleep. You wake up early. You got a big problem. I don't know what the solution is, but you got a problem. If you make that decision that you're going to sleep and you're not getting up until after the fast begins, technically, you're not allowed to eat when you wake up because the fast has already begun. If you make a condition, then it's permitted. If it's your custom, everyone will answer this to tell you, well, it's been my custom since I was bar mitzvah that I wake up early before the fast day and I eat before the fast day. It just so happens that this year I forgot to make that condition. I forgot, but that's what my custom is. My custom is always to make this condition. So even if I did not make the condition, it's as if I made the condition. All right. That is something which probably a rabbi will tell you can rely upon if you forgot to make the condition. If you ordinarily, you know, some rabbis are getting calls 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't you know this? Rabbis are getting emergency calls 3 o'clock in the morning. Rabbi, I'm sorry for waking you up, but I got a problem. I did not make the condition when I went to sleep, and now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I want to eat. Am I allowed to eat? Therefore, I had to wake you up. So the rabbi will say, listen, did you ever eat? Is it your custom to eat before davening? Yes, yes, I always do this. Okay, then good. Even though you did not make the condition, it's as if you made the condition. Next interesting shaila. Are you allowed to touch food on Shavasa B'Tamuz? If you touch food, you may come to eat it. Now, it's one thing if you're touching food because you're preparing food for later, or you're preparing for your children, or you're preparing food for someone who must eat. Fine, of course, then you're allowed to touch the food. But let's say you just want to touch food because I don't know why. You have nothing to do today, right? So you want to clean out the refrigerator. Serious Shaila. You want to clean out the refrigerator. I could clean out the refrigerator. I'm not a chef. There's no one home that I'm preparing food for. Anyway, if I make a dish, they wouldn't eat it anyway in this house. They don't trust my cooking skills. So, but I have nothing better to do today but to clean out the refrigerator and rearrange all the food in the freezer and throw out all the old stuff and put in new things. And I can do it later. I can do it tomorrow. Are you allowed to touch food? Are we concerned if you touch food, you may come to eat? This is a machlokes haposkim. Some opinions hold you're not even allowed to touch food because you may come to eat it. Other poskim say, come on, there's only a minhag. It's a minhag. It's not a davar chamur. You're allowed to touch food. There's nothing to be concerned about. The minhag is obviously to be lenient. You can touch food. Okay, another question is, what happens if by mistake you make a bracha? You come home and you're a creature of habit. You open up the refrigerator, you take out the orange juice, you pour yourself a glass of orange juice, and you say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, shehakol nihya bidvaroi. And as you say, shehakol nihya bidvaroi, your wife walks in and says, it's a tainus today. What are you doing? What are you doing? Uh-oh, you're right. What am I doing? But you already made the bracha. If I'm not going to eat, it's going to be a bracha levatol. What should you do? I don't have an answer. All I know is, in the Nitei Gavriel, it presents a long list of poskim that say you should be toyim. You should just take a teeny, teeny mashuhu and put it to your tongue. And that's it. And other poskim can say, no, it is so chamor. You do nothing. You don't eat. You say, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. I am assuming that the disagreement between these two opinions as what to do depends upon the Chakira that we started with. When we observe today Shavasa B'Tamos, and by extension the other Dalit Tzaymais, is our observance as a carryover from the original fast day from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, modified. It's a modified carryover from the prophets. Or no, the prophets, what they have instituted is batel umevutel ke'afra da'ara, gone. And what we're doing today is a new custom. Our new custom, zecher l'mikdash kehillel. It's a new custom. If it's a new custom, you can be makel. You made the bracha, shakol niyah bidrobi bracha, but tell the shem Hashem, le'sisa shem Hashem lashav, then you can be toye ma'at. But if you learn that what we're doing today on Tzom Gedalia is a modified carryover from the Nevi'im, and what the Nevi'im instituted lingers in the background, then don't put that food in your mouth. Even though you made a bracha, no, you made a bracha, but the Nevi'im are not people to be ignored. They instituted you must fast. This is serious business. You made a bracha. Okay, you made a bracha. It was a mistake. You say, Baruch Shem, Kamalchus, Salil, and Wed. You do not put the food in your mouth. Being that today you see, what you do see today is that the tendency in the Ksach HaKol is to view the Tainus as a new minhag, not to have any, not to be a modified carryover. It would result that you should put the food in your mouth and be toyim ma'at. There's no question that the sense you get from going through all the halachas of the Dalit Tzaymos is that the fast today is not a carryover. It's a whole new fast. It's a new minhag. It's a new minhag, and that's why we're so lenient in so many different ways. Then it would be logical that the result would be that if you make a bracha, the bracha is a very serious matter, especially if people who take bracha seriously. If you say Hashem's name, that's a serious business. So then to be sonach on the many poskim that said that you should be toyim a teeny, teeny mashahu, put it on your tongue, that's sufficient. It's not, but those who learn that it's a modified carryover, no, then you follow the other Paiskim that say that, that you say Baruch Shem, you should not do so. Next Shiloh. What happens if a person by mistake, he doesn't just make the bracha, he actually sits down to breakfast. He sits down and he eats. He's enjoying a good breakfast. And then his wife walks in and says, what are you doing? It's a tainus today. You're right. I totally forgot. What do you do now? Well, first of all, you have to bench. If you ate a kezias, don't forget you have to bench. Just because today is a tainus and you blew it doesn't mean you don't have to bench. You have to recite Birchas HaMozayin, Al HaMichya Bar Nefashayis. And then, just because you ate doesn't mean you can continue eating. You have to fast for the rest of the day. The person by mistake, he ate, don't make a mistake and think, well, once I blew it, I blew it. So I might as well have the next course, and I might as well have another glass of juice, and have a cup of coffee, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and another in an early dinner. There's no such thing. If a person makes a mistake and he eats, he's not allowed to continue eating. A person has permission from a doctor to eat. On it doesn't mean you have a 9-course meal. You eat what you need to, and that's it. No chocolate cake on a tainus. You eat what you're supposed to eat, what is a healthy, nutritious meal, and that's it. A tainus, even for people who are eating, is a day to diet. Is a day when you have to be memayit. If a person by mistake he eats, he does not have to make it up. There is no makeup. There is no requirement to make up one of the dalet tzomos. Once you get away with it, you get away with it. Okay, now what about brushing your teeth and mouthwash? L'chatchila, you're not supposed to put anything in your mouth. B'di'eved, you can use mouthwash. Mouthwash is much better than anything because mouthwash, you're not going to swallow. No one wants to swallow mouthwash. They don't want to end up in the hospital. I mean, Trump told everyone to take Lysol. Okay, that was a really big blunder. Okay, but people are not supposed to be drinking Lysol. You don't drink Lysol, so therefore taking Listerine or mouthwash is permitted because people are not nechshat in swallowing and ingesting these things. But rinsing your mouth with water is lechatchila not correct. B'di'eved, if you really have a need to do so, you're allowed to. You're allowed to rinse your mouth with water and spit it out. On Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to do that. And certainly Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to do that. But on the Dalet Tzomos, B'di'eved, if you don't have a choice and you want to put some water in your mouth just to swoosh and to spit out, and be very careful not to swallow. Brushing your teeth, L'chatchila not. But b'di'eved, a person has a real need, then these things are permitted on the Dalet Tzomos.
By the way, the Shaarei Tzion makes a point of saying that when you rinse your mouth, when you're allowed to rinse it, you should hold your face facing down.
So the water should not, it's not swallow.
You won't be able to swallow it.
To swallow the water.
Your face is facing that, you know.
Okay, Rabbi, I really didn't want to talk about this today. My topic today was Mishkan Shiloh. I had some really, really fascinating stuff I came across. So we're going to have to save that for tomorrow, another day. But I also want to spend time during the Ben HaMitzar learning some of the halachas of the Ben HaMitzarim. We just got basically started today with just the bare bone basics for Shavuos B'Tammuz. Okay, and Yiratz Hashem to be continued as we go forward. Have a wonderful day. Remember, Rabbi said that those who are learning tonight, the Chumash and Unkelah Shir, Rabbi Maevsky will be giving the Shir tonight. I will send out on the chat a different link for tonight only. And Yiratz Hashem, in the future, when we go back, we're going back to the regular number. It's only for tonight because I made a mistake and I gave the number to someone to use, not realizing it was a conflict in the time that we have our regular shear. I'll send it out soon, but only for tonight, with Rabbi Mayevsky at 7:15, Chumash, Rashi, and Unkelus. Have a wonderful day, and be well.
Have an easy fast.
You too. Everyone should have an easy and meaningful fast tomorrow.
And a good time tonight, I hope.
Good share tonight.
Call to everybody.
Okay, be well, be well.
So long.
So long, farewell. What?
Can't have a good time with a mask on.
I'm working tonight. Tonight I'm working. I'm not having a good time tonight. Tonight's not a...
Rabbi Levine, I have a different computer.
Oh, yeah? Does it work on that computer?
Computer in the house. I'm able to get this.
It works? That computer works? No. Okay.
Bypass
okay.
The problem.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Let me... Shukayach, okay. Have a good day, Rabbi Isai.
By Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
It's clear halacha that if someone has to feed Yom Kippur, in the morning, he's definitely allowed to get a Leah.
It's Yom Tov.
Is
a Yom Tov laning. It's not a fast day.
It's because of the Tannis.
Tannis, right. It's Vayichal. We lay, they were in the Arayas.
The Arayas, right.
But it's a Mincha. Mincha is not a time when you ordinarily lane.
Right.
You're only letting me in the Tannis.
If a sick person has to eat Yom Kippur, he's definitely allowed to get an Aliyah by Shachas.
Right. I understand.